to the book of 1 John, chapter 5. First John chapter 5, one verse to start tonight, verse 13. 1 John 5, 13. Are any of you familiar with this verse? Is it seeming more familiar now? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your amazing love. The love that you've shed abroad on our hearts through Christ and the gospel. Thank you for giving us the privilege to come together to worship you tonight. Thank you for answering prayers. Thank you for encouraging our hearts. Lord, many of us come tonight with heavy hearts. And we pray for your comfort on those that are hurting tonight. We pray that your Spirit would fill their hearts and minds, and that you would encourage them and give them comfort and consolation, that the peace that passes understanding would flood their hearts and minds, and that you would just give grace upon grace. Lord, tonight we come with hope because of Jesus. Thank you for the assurance that you give that we can know we have eternal life, that your Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. And I pray for those who are hearing this message. They don't have that hope. They don't have that assurance that you would work in their hearts tonight, bring them to a place of repentance and faith even now, that they would call on your name and be saved. Thank you for the gospel. Help us to know the gospel more and more each day, to just live in the gospel and to live out the gospel and to take the gospel to everyone around us. Please forgive our sins. Please help me now, Lord, for I'm nothing without you. And I pray you bless your word and that you would get glory and that you would work in our lives. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Did you happen to find one of these on the pew near you tonight? Could you grab it? If you just take that and put it in your hand. I've been blessed to be your pastor for over 9 years. And early on, when we first came here, one of the things I ask you to do is to let us print gospel tracts. And we've been doing that ever since. And I remember Brother Billy, I'm pretty sure, was the one that made the motion. And since I've been your pastor, it's been approved. We don't have to ever vote on it again. We need gospel tracts. We buy gospel tracts. And, you know, that may not seem very like a big deal to most people, but that's a big deal to me. That means that we have a church that understands the value of a good gospel tract. Now, we've worked on different designs and tried to give different presentations over the years, and some of those have been great. Greatly successful, though, some of them not. I thought it'd be really cool a few years ago to have one that had a lot of the trouble that is in this world, and on the inside, you would find the answer to those troubles. But it was just bad, because when you stuck it in your pocket, all you could see was, like, I don't remember, things like murder and death and depression and suicide. Like, it was just, that's all you saw when you stuck it in your pocket, and nobody wanted those tracks. But we've tried different ways, and We obviously don't change the message. Please somebody say amen.
Amen.
Change the message. We might have different methods of getting the gospel in people's hands, but at the end of the day, the basics are these. We're all sinners.
Amen.
Who deserve death.
Right.
But God loves us so much that Christ came and paid that debt for us. We owe death. Christ paid that debt. He died. And that when you trust in Christ alone and call on his name, he takes you from death to life. He forgives you and gives you eternal life. So these are a new design with that same old gospel message on the inside. But it says on the outside, what if you knew? And the hope is that when people see that, it'll pique their curiosity, because people like to know things. What if I knew what? And so when you open it up, it says, what if you knew beyond any doubt when you would spend eternity in heaven? Don't you think that that's something most people would want to know?
Amen.
What if you knew beyond any doubt you would spend eternity in heaven? And aren't you thankful tonight that you have the answer to that? So I want to take just a little bit of time tonight, do something a little different, and we're going to walk through this gospel track, because I think every person at Calvary ought to carry gospel tracks. And I think every person at Calvary ought to be diligent about leaving gospel tracks everywhere you go. We ought to be faithful to hand out gospel tracks to everyone we talk to. Now, I'll be the first to admit that sometimes I fall short of that. I'll maybe go through the drive-through, and after I get out on the highway, I'm like, oh no, I forgot to give them a gospel track. Or I may run into the pig and run back out and realize I forgot to leave a gospel track. We're all gonna fall short sometimes, but we need to be faithful. I'm gonna pick on Brother Tom tonight. He asked me to pray for some guys he's been trying to witness to, and what a joy to ask somebody to pray for people you're trying to witness to. I talked to him this morning, told me about a couple of different guys he'd already had opportunities today to talk to about the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
And I was rejoicing with you, brother. I was also a little jealous. And I asked the Lord, before we ever got off the phone, that he would give me opportunity. And you know what? I pulled into the parking lot, and I got out of the truck, and here came somebody walking up to me. I didn't even have to go find them. They just came here. And I told you just a minute ago, somebody came into my office a little while ago. Listen, there are opportunities everywhere.
Amen.
And we need to be faithful to look to them, but we also need to be equipped to share Christ with others. We need to learn to hone our craft, if you will. We need to learn to use the Word of God skillfully, right? We want to be able to know the Word of God and use the Word of God effectively. So allow me just a few minutes to walk through this gospel track with you, and then when you leave tonight, you take a stack of them with you. I will also say we've got a great opportunity. Saturday is Old Settlers Day right across the highway. There will be probably 1,000 people or more will be right here, right there. Some of them will be parked right on the church property, and we can go to them, and we can take the gospel to them. There's going to be a car show, and some of you love old cars, and you can talk to people who love old cars about Jesus. You know, it's okay to talk about old cars. Come on, people.
Amen.
It's okay to like old cars. But you can also talk about Jesus. It's okay to like hunting. Deer season started, if you didn't know. Also, bear season, just in case. Not here. Don't kill the bears you see around here. But there's places in the state you can kill bears. It's okay to talk about hunting. But it's better to talk about Jesus.
Amen.
So we can have opportunities to talk about things, but we want to swing them to the things of God. So the track says, what if you knew beyond any doubt you would spend eternity in heaven? We have good news for you today. 1 John 5:13 declares, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know that you have eternal life, but there are some important things you must understand first. God offers eternal life to those who believe. You can know for sure you have eternal life. You can have assurance of that, but you're going to have to get there first. First, realize God loves you. John 3:16 says what, friends? Can you guys read it all together out loud? Ready, go. For God
so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
That was really good. I wonder if the people watching at home read it out loud too. God so loved the world.
Amen.
He loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes would not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen.
Eternal life is available to all who believe. And that life is available because of God's amazing love.
Amen.
God wants you to spend eternity in heaven with him. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
He would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But there's a problem. We've all broken God's law.
Amen.
Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, sometimes we talk to people about sin, it's hard to get them to take it personal. That happened to me today. I asked a man if he had ever told a lie, and he said, "Well, sure, everybody's told lies." Well, that's true. Everybody's lied. But have you ever told a lie? Have you? So what does that make you? You know, a lot of people have a hard time with that. Saying, "I'm a liar." Let's all practice it together. I am a
liar.
Yeah, we don't like that. So I had to work through it with this gentleman because he was having a hard time admitting that he was a liar. He was like, "Well, that makes me human. That makes me a bad person. I guess I'm not perfect. I'm like everybody else." Well, we can explain all that away all we want to, but the reality is if you have lied, you are a liar. So we had to walk through that. He was having a hard time with it. Why? Because that makes it personal. To say we've all lied, everybody lies, kind of makes you feel not so bad. But when you say, "I am a liar," that's different. And we need to come to that place. That's what the law does. It's so that every mouth may be stopped and we can all become guilty before God. That's why your gospel track in your hand says, "Have you ever told lies? Stolen something, even if it was small? Used God's name in vain or looked at another person with lust?" If we're honest before God, we would all have to admit we are guilty of breaking God's law. And so the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to sin. We want to be faithful to use the law lawfully. And the purpose of the law is to show you that you don't measure up to God's perfect standard.
Amen.
It's not a club to beat people over with. It's not to shame them. It's to bring them to a place of guilt so that they know they need a Savior.
Amen.
So we want to use it carefully, skillfully, biblically, the way Jesus did, to bring the conviction of sin. Because we could debate with people about all kinds of stuff. I'm just telling you, if you start trying to talk to people about Jesus, they're going to want to talk about everything under the sun.
Amen.
My favorites, people like to talk about ghosts. I'm trying to talk to you about Jesus and whether you're a liar, and you want to talk about ghosts because, I don't know, it's almost Halloween. I have no idea. People love to talk about dinosaurs. I happen to love dinosaurs, so I'm happy to talk about dinosaurs. But what do dinosaurs have to do with the fact that you're a liar and a thief? Right? People love to talk about aliens because, I don't know. Because there was a guy in Mexico who testified before the Mexican Congress that he dug up some alien bodies in Peru in 2017. You guys, anybody see that? Did anybody see? Please raise your hand if you saw that. Hey, welcome to 2023. It's not my circus. I just live here. People will try to deflect. They'll talk about anything else. Why? Because the law brings a conviction of sin. When we use the law skillfully, what happens is people's mouths are stopped. And that's what we're hoping for. Stop justifying, stop making excuses, stop trying to deflect, stop trying to distract, and just come to a place where you can admit your guilt before God.
Amen.
A person doesn't want the cure unless they first know that they have the disease. This isn't something new. You guys all knew this growing up, didn't you?
Amen.
How many pastors have you had stand in this pulpit and say, "You have to get somebody lost before you can get them saved"?
Amen.
But that's a truth we all understand. And that's what the law does. The law helps us to bypass the intellect, the place of argument, and go directly to the conscience, the place of conviction. And so that's what we want to use, is the law. And that's what our gospel tract does. It asks those questions so that we can bring that admission of guilt. If we're honest before God, we would all have to admit we're guilty of breaking God's law. This is a huge problem because our sin has a terrible price. The penalty of our sin is... what is it? The penalty of our sin is... isn't that hard? The Word of God plainly declares in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, somebody reading that might be, well, I'm not afraid. I believe. I'm not abominable. I don't even know what that means. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a sorcerer. But you know, he kind of gets us all, doesn't he? All liars.
Amen.
How many people do you have to murder before you're a murderer? How many lies do you have to tell before you're a liar? We're all guilty, and the penalty of our sin is death. God will punish sinners in the lake of fire, but there's good news for you today. Romans 6:23 declares, and see, Romans 6:23 gives us both sides of it, doesn't it? For the wages of sin is... death. The wages. What are wages? Well, if you got a job, you go to work and you put in your hours and you earn a wage. It's what you get in return for what you do. So what are we? Well, we're sinners. And what do we get in return for our sin? We get the wage of death. It's what we all justly deserve. What is death? It's really important we understand this when we're talking to lost people. Death is separation. The physical death, the first death, is when your spirit is separated from your body. But the second death is that spiritual separation when your spirit is separated from God eternally in the lake of fire.
Amen.
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, death is what we all deserve. Life is what is available to all who believe, and life is only available through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is the good news of the gospel. Jesus paid the price for you to be saved. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus took our punishment on the cross. And a lot of people around here understand or at least have some kind of belief that Jesus died on the cross. A lot of people believe that, but they're not trusting in that. And it's really important that we understand a couple of things. One, I think it helps people to get a understanding of the legal implications of that, okay? We're guilty before God. That's judicial language, isn't it? We talk about guilt and innocence. We talk about guilt and justice. We talk about mercy. All of those are judicial terms. So a lot of people understand that Jesus died, but they don't understand the legal implications of that. So I think it's helpful sometimes to take people into the courtroom of God and try to give them an analogy. So imagine this. I'm trying to decide who I want to pick on tonight. Who looks like they don't want to be picked on? Brother Dave. Hey, Dave. So I know this is going to be hard for y'all to imagine, but just imagine with me for a minute that Brother David did something really, really, really bad. Liz is like, eh, not so hard. I can see that. And his mom is like, oh, no, he would never do anything wrong. You know, we get better the older we get. When I was younger, my mom was always threatening to kill me, and now she thinks I was really good. I think maybe your memory is slipping. I'm not sure. But let's imagine that Brother Dave did something really terrible. And let's say that the fine for the crimes that Brother David committed were $250,000. So Brother Dave is facing $250,000 fine or 25 years in prison. Now, we're going to pretend tonight like Brother Dave can't just write a check for $250,000. Or maybe we're not pretending. But let's say that Dave goes into the courtroom and the judge says, we've got 10 witnesses. They've all testified before the court, and you have been found guilty of this crime. Your fine is $250,000. What do you have to say for yourself? And Brother Dave might say, listen, Judge, I'm really, really sorry for what I did, and I promise I'll never do it again. Now, if he's a good judge and a just judge, he's not going to say, oh, well, if you're sorry, you're free to go. Is he? Now, I'm not speculating on what you did, Dave. I mean, but the fine's $250,000. That's a pretty big deal, whatever it was you did. And so if he's a just judge, he's not just going to let you go. And can I submit to you tonight that our God is a just judge? And he's not going to turn a blind eye to sin. He's not just going to let you go. And so Dave stands condemned. He can't say anything for himself except he's sorry, but that doesn't do anything to pay the fine. So the judge is about to drop the gavel and send him away to prison when somebody bursts into the courtroom and says, I'm here with a check for $250,000. I love David, and I'm going to pay his fine. Now, if Dave will accept that payment, then the judge can legally dismiss his case. David can go free and stand just in the sight of the law because the fine was paid. Everybody with me right now? You understand that's what Christ did for us? He burst into the courtroom of God with his own blood that takes away the sin of the world. And you can accept that payment by faith. And when you trust in Jesus, his blood takes away your sin debt. And God can legally dismiss your case. You are free to go. You are just in the eyes of God Almighty because Jesus paid your fine. Free. Free. So Jesus paid the price for you to be saved. And a lot of people know that Jesus died on the cross, but they don't understand the legal implications of that. So while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our punishment on the cross. But I said that that payment has to be accepted, and it's accepted through repentance and faith. That's the next part of your gospel tract. You have to come to him in repentance and faith. To repent literally means to change your mind. And it results in a person turning from unbelief and sin to God. The word repent means literally to change your mind. And we're changing our mind about who we are. We're not good. We're not righteous in ourselves. We're not declaring our own goodness before God anymore. Our mouths have been stopped by the law. We're guilty. And so we're changing our mind about who we are. We're changing our mind about who he is. He's the God who loved us, the God who died for us, the God who offers salvation. We're changing our mind about our sin and about our unbelief, and we are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're turning away from sin, away from unbelief, to God. We're coming to a place where we say, I don't want to keep going this direction anymore. I want to turn around and I want to turn to God. I want to follow him. Amen. Having faith in Jesus isn't just believing in God, or even believing that Jesus died on the cross, but trusting he died for you. Amen. We can use these terms a little differently. Everybody kind of has their own nuance and their definitions, but for our purposes, can we all understand that there's a difference between belief and trust? Amen. We see that in the Bible. The devils believe and tremble. You believe in God, that's good. You should believe in God. The devils believe and tremble, but that doesn't mean they have eternal life. So we have to move from a belief to a trust. Now, I didn't understand that when I was saved. I experienced it, but I didn't understand it. When I was born again, I went from a place of believing here to trusting here. Amen. It's really hard for me to put that into words. But let me try. The best illustration I can ever think of is airplanes. I like airplanes, so maybe that's why. But how many of you believe airplanes can fly? How many of you trust an airplane enough to get on one? How many of you don't? See those hands? Right? There's a difference. And listen, it doesn't matter whether you trust an airplane or not, but it does matter whether you trust Jesus or not. See, anybody can see an airplane fly and go, oh, I believe airplanes fly. But it's entirely different when you get on one and you stay in your seat while it takes off. You're not a lunatic running down the aisle, like pounding on the door trying to get off when they're taxiing. Right? Or like that one guy's uncle who said, I flew on it, but I never put all my weight down in the seat. Listen, we can believe in Jesus, and any sane person believes in Jesus, but there's a difference between believing and trusting. Amen. We want to trust in him with all our heart. And trust him like you would trust a parachute. So trust in Christ. So having faith in Jesus isn't just believing in God or even believing Jesus died on a cross, but trusting he died for you. It is only because he paid the price for your sin that you can be saved, and you must believe this and trust in him with all your heart. He is the only way for you to get to heaven. In prayer, ask God to forgive your sin, trust in Jesus with all your heart, and ask him to be your Savior. Romans 10:13 promises, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Who? Whosoever. Whosoever will may come and take the water of life freely. You can be born again by trusting in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I want to plead with you to take these tracts and study them, to know these scriptures, to know your way around this tract so you can help people. Because the reality is, this is just the beginning. Somebody trusting Jesus isn't the finish line, that's the starting line. That's just getting the starting blocks and taking off when the gun's fired. That's just the beginning. The Lord has called us to make disciples.
Amen.
Evangelism is a huge part of disciple making, but it's not all of it. We want to help people come to faith in Christ. This is just the beginning. These are great tools for us to use. And it's great for us to be able to leave the gospel in places where we can't have a conversation, but they're great tools to use in conversation because, listen, this is just the beginning. We don't want to see them just believe in Jesus, but we want to see them continue in his word. And so we want to continue to give them gospel truth. We're going to continue to encourage them to be baptized and to continue to grow and to continue to learn and to continue to follow Jesus and they so that they can be disciples who make disciples for the Lord. What if you knew? So I want to ask you tonight, do you know? I mean, can you just rejoice?
Amen.
If you know, can you rejoice that you know? If you don't know tonight, if you don't know tonight, you can know tonight. There have been some hard things today. Some hard phone calls today. And I can't imagine walking through some of the realities that families are facing today without Jesus. I can't imagine walking through some of the realities that families are facing today without the hope of eternal life. And I don't have to. Because I believed on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
And I know I have eternal life. And I can keep on believing on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
Can you?
Amen.
If you're not trusting in him with all your heart, I plead with you to trust in him now. Be faithful to witness to others. There's a crazy thing that's going to happen. If you'll ask God for opportunities, he's going to give them to you.
Amen.
Sometimes I'll walk right up to your door. Ask God for opportunities and then take advantage of those opportunities when they come. And if you go to the pig, does anybody go to the pig on a regular basis? There's only two of you that go to the Piggly Wiggly? What's wrong with you people? It's the last Piggly Wiggly in the state of Oklahoma. You ought to support that place. That's preaching. Where else are you going to go? Walmart? Come on, people. Next time, I don't know where you heathens go if you don't go to the Piggly Wiggly. But wherever you go, when you go there and you walk back out to your truck or your car and you realize, oh no, I forgot to give them a gospel tract, just get one and run back in there. And you do something crazy, you can go, hey, I forgot to give you one of these. You guys still have your tracts? Can you hold them up in your hand like this? Just like this. And then just stick it out there like that. Everybody, all together. Just like that. There you go. Good job. You think you can do that? It's not complicated, is it? You can say something crazy like, hey, did you get one of these? And nobody has yet. These are brand new. Did you get one of these? Can I give you something to read? Can I give you some good news? I get really, whatever you say. Or maybe you're really scared and nervous. You can't see anything. You just hold it out there. And if you stand there long enough, they'll take it. Just don't say anything. Just. I mean, they're going to think you're weird, but they'll take the track, I promise. Listen, it's the Word of God. It's the gospel. And we have the joy of sharing it with other people because we want them to have the same hope and assurance that we have. Let's stand together. If we can have our musicians.